We'll talk at 4:40 with Oklahoma Powercat Game Day reporter Todd Lisenby. Does a show in Oklahoma City. I want to ask him if he feels like there is anything else behind Bob Stoops' reasoning for retiring than what Stoops has put out there publicly. One of Bill Snyder's greatest accomplishments. Time to reflect on that with Bob Stoops retiring. We'll explain that at 5:10. But in more important news, Mitch has already, early out of the shoot, retweeted his WTF fact of the day.
Had to get out of the way, John.
And that is Egyptian pyramid workers were paid in beer, 1 to 2 gallons per day.
I didn't know that, did you?
I did not, but are we just taking that at face value for gospel right there just because it came from the WTF Facts Twitter account?
You shouldn't.
Well, you know, something funny happened yesterday. I retweeted something about it was Disneyland who invented Doritos originally because they were just throwing away all these tortillas or something, and so they needed something to do with them, so they kind of invented Doritos. And Tyler comes over here after the show and says, you know, if you're going to retweet something, just make sure it's – well, I'm not exactly quoting him, but he says
make sure it's actually accurate.
So I actually Google who invented Doritos, and it says Disneyland.
I got served.
Some dude – name like Arthur or something.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess there it is. We have to believe Mitch Fortner and his facts.
I bet they didn't get paid in dumb fruity beers, though. I bet they were real beers.
Dumb fruity beers. That's a shot at John Kurtz.
I hope if it were me, I'm only accepting 1 to 2 gallons of Radler per day. That's it. I'm telling you, do yourself a favor. Go get those Shock Top lemon shandies. That's where it's at for the summer.
Okay.
You'll thank me later. Here's a quick note before we get to the biggest college basketball story of the day, which I actually find pretty interesting and shocking. K-State did add today a walk-on to the roster, which sounds on the surface not all that interesting. But this to me actually is a pretty good add. It is Patrick Muldoon. He is originally from Baser, Kansas, but he spent the last 2 years playing at Eastern Illinois. And actually averaged 5.5 points a game last year. He started 18 games over his two-year career, played in almost 60 games over the last 2 years for Eastern Illinois. He's 6'7", big guy. Really what it screams to me is an Austin Budke type of guy. He is going to have to sit out this year, but he'll have 2 years of eligibility after that. If you're getting him to walk on, that's a very good get. This is not just a wasted walk-on spot. I mean, to me, just with the information we have right now, I would say this is probably a guy that will contribute, and they were able to really milk Austin Budke for a lot more than they probably should have been able to go ahead and get out of him. So this, to me, fits into that mold. I think it's a good move.
I agree, and you know what Austin Budke did not have, as hard as he played and everything like that, he just did not have the size to hold his own when he got into, you know, Big 12 play against good opponents. This guy's 6'7". So he should be able to do some things for you and should be able to get some rebounds. He was averaging 5 rebounds a game at Eastern Illinois.
So take that, Cole. Thad Mata doing that.
Yeah.
So bringing in walk-ons from Eastern Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
I kid there with Cole from earlier this week. The big college basketball story today, and I was completely shocked that this happened, Greg McDermott has turned down Ohio State. Greg McDermott, once at Iowa State, now at Creighton. Started coming out last night that he was the leading candidate to replace Thad Mata when he was let go from Ohio State when they parted ways. Man, a guy that has really struggled at his only Power 5 opportunity, which was Iowa State, and right now is at Creighton. Probably could have had his salary almost doubled, I would think, at Ohio State. Goes ahead and turns them down. Now, most people are going to take that and say, well, this is a statement on Ohio State because the guy at Creighton doesn't even want to take the Ohio State gig.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of that just because you know that there's not really a chance that you're going to go in there and be the big man on campus in terms of the conference. You're talking about a conference where Tom Izzo is there. Michigan State had a down year last year, but he's still the big guy. And then you have a blue blood program, at least their fans would like you to believe they're a blue blood program in Indiana. So it's harder there to be the top dog, and I can see how that may be a little bit of a factor.
I wouldn't beat myself up if I was an Ohio State fan. I mean, maybe there's some aspect to that. It's also a football school. You're always going to be second fiddle to Urban Meyer in the football program. But if you look at it, I think there's some self-awareness here from Greg McDermott because his track record has been great at the mid-major level. Northern Iowa, he went to 3 straight tourneys before he was hired away by Iowa State. Then he struggles at Iowa State. He never won more than six conference games in 4 years there. Then he goes to Creighton. Now all of a sudden he's been to four tourneys in 7 years. Had him as a top 25 team pretty much the entire season last year. I think in some ways it's got to be him realizing, look, I mean, I've got a good thing going at Creighton here. It was really tough when I went to the Power 5 level. Maybe don't mess with success right now. And the other part of it is you're seeing more and more mid-major coaches do this, turn down jobs of the same caliber, really, as Ohio State. Ohio State, well, being a great school, and they have won in recent memory. They've been to Final Fours with Greg Oden and whatnot. But, you know, it's not Indiana, Kansas, Duke, Kentucky, one of the really, really big jobs. And look at Mark Few. I mean, he's been at Gonzaga since 1999. Greg Marshall has spent a decade now in Wichita, Wichita State. Heck, even Shaka Smart. It was 5 years after his Final Four run before he finally left VCU for Texas. So I think there's something to that, that in today's day and age, more and more of these mid-major coaches are realizing, hey, I mean, I can win just about as much here as I could at a school like Ohio State. There are some advantages to playing with Creighton in the Big East than going through the gauntlet of the Big Ten.
That may be a headline in of itself, that at least you would think that Ohio State viewed Greg Marshall as being untouchable. I mean, if they called Greg McDermott and tried to get him to be the coach, you would think that they had already crossed off Greg Marshall from their list, because you would not go after Greg McDermott before you would go after Greg Marshall. But if they did not view him as even a possibility, that means that, yeah, mid-majors are doing a better job at keeping their guys at that school.
Well, I mean, like I said, VCU went to a Final Four with Shaka Smart. Obviously, Wichita State not only has been to a Final Four, but they've also been a number one seed, which, if you're talking about this type of a discussion, can I win as much at Creighton as I could at Ohio State? That, to me, is almost more important than a Final Four run. I mean, we know, quite literally, you can have a George Mason team make a miracle run to the Final Four, but it's much easier to do so if you're doing it as a top seed. And what Wichita State has proven is that if you do win games and you build enough of a reputation, you can be rewarded just like a Power 5 team at the mid-major level. So if you're one of these top-flight mid-major schools, man, these are good gigs. And they've turned into, over the years, seemingly better gigs than what we thought they were 10 years ago because of the success some of them have had and just the trend that we're seeing from some of these coaches.
We were talking in the last segment about winning the press conference and Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma. What's becoming clear to me, I don't think that Ohio State is going to hire a coach that's going to win the press conference with their fans if they're getting turned down by Greg McDermott. Wouldn't you think? I mean, whoever they bring in, I don't think that it's going to be a guy that has a huge reputation.
Fred Hoiberg has been rumored. I would think if they got Fred Hoiberg,
that would be okay.
They'd be happy with it. But I would say this. If you're an Ohio State fan, you have to just be feeling like you're in a very weird spot, because most people didn't expect Thad Matta to be fired, especially not at this point in time, or them to part ways, whatever you want to technically call it. That was an unexpected thing for them. And then my guess is, if I were an Ohio State fan anyway, this is how I would feel. I'd be like, what? We're offering the job to Greg McDermott?
Right.
And then he turns you down, so it's like you have mixed emotions, slap in the face to the program, but at the same time, you didn't really want the guy anyway. So I would just think from Ohio State's perspective, there have to be a ton of mixed emotions there. But if you happen to know an Ohio State fan, whatever, I would say, just to ease their mind, it says much more about the state of the high mid-major job than it does the Ohio State job.
Football school. They are not worried about basketball right now. Football school.
Yeah, hell, that's a good point. I don't know if they even notice that their basketball coach is out. They might not. I don't know. Paying attention to summer workout reports leaking through on the message boards or something for Ohio State. One of Bill Snyder's greatest accomplishments has to do with Bob Stoops. We'll talk about that at 5:10. But when we come back, we'll be joined by Todd Lisenby, our Oklahoma Powercat Game Day reporter. Is there more to Bob Stoops' reasoning for stepping down than what he's putting out there publicly? We'll ask him coming up.